Good morning and welcome to our 9:40 service. We are delighted you're here. We're glad to see people coming in and visiting and sharing some time with each other. I invite you to look at your bulletin carefully. There are many, many things going on during the season of Lent as we prepare for Easter Sunday. So I encourage you to read that carefully. I would like to mention that one of our former associate ministers, Mark Becker, will be here on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock to speak. I was just with Mark all day yesterday in a meeting in Orlando. He's excited about coming back to visit and spend time with friends here at Trinity, so I hope you'll come and see him on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, and dinner is before that, starting at 5:30. We had a group of folks who went to Alabama who did some work there on homes that were damaged, badly damaged by tornadoes, and I know some of those folks are here. They just got back last night. If you went on that trip, would you please stand, let us see who you are. If you went on the trip, let's recognize you. There were 19 of them that went. I never cease to be amazed at the people from this church who go out to help other people across this country and around the world. So we're delighted to have them back and have them back safely. Again, if you're visiting with us this morning, we're especially glad to have you. We hope that you'll feel at home here. Take a moment at the end of the service and go by our Welcome Center, where we have a gift for you and some information about our church. Now, every Sunday morning, we like to begin our service by saying, "Welcome home." And why are we here? To worship God. Let's bow our heads now for a moment of prayer as we prepare our hearts for worship. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for another great day, a day that we can come together to worship and praise your name. We thank you for everything you've done to bless our lives. We pray that your Spirit will move among us during this time together, that great things will happen, that lives will be touched, that we'll be equipped and prepared to go from this place to share your good news with other people. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Would you all please stand and sing one of my favorite revival songs when we all get to heaven? Sing it out.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His praise. In the mansion bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us stand. My cup, you are my all in all.
remain standing and join me in our affirmation of faith, which is the modern affirmation. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Come to our prayer time, and we always mention the names of those who need special prayer. From the screen, you'll see those names, Hank Brotherton and Roger Bryan. Also, delighted to have Marianne Williams back with us today. Marianne had double knee replacement. How long ago was that? 3 weeks ago? 4 weeks ago? Just walked from the back all the way down to the front. I'm not sure that I could do that, but good for you. We're glad to have you back with us today. Also, many of you may know Maggie Morgan. She was a resident of the village, 93 years old, amazing individual, PhD, taught at University of Florida, and passed away suddenly this past week. Her funeral service is tomorrow at 10 a.m. at Bushnell. And so let's keep that family in our prayers. They had no children, but I understand that Maggie, several people said she was like a mother to the children of the world. So she was a delightful person, and we'll certainly miss her. Let's pray for that family. There are others I'm sure you'd like to remember in prayer. I invite you to think of those as we have our prayer time together. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for any opportunity we have to serve you. We're grateful that you love us so much and that we're called according to your will. We come to you this morning knowing that these we pray for, these who are recovering from an illness or injury, those who have suffered a loss of someone in their family, we know that you're there with them even as we pray, loving them and caring for them and meeting every need that they have. We're grateful that we can gather in this place and praise your name and lift your name above all names. We ask, O God, that you would bless Dan as he preaches the word this day. Use his words in a magnificent way to touch our lives, to inspire us and challenge us. We pray for the world in which we live, O God, because we know that there are so many who are suffering because of war or famine, disease, so many things that are impacting the lives of people, children, families all over the world. But we also know there's no issue, no problem so big that you cannot deal with it and overcome it. So we commit all of these needs to your care, believing with all of our heart that you're there to provide for every need. Bless every word that we say, every song that we sing, every prayer that we pray, and we'll give you the glory for it. These things we ask in the name of Jesus, and then we pray together that prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Troy. It's good to see all of you. It's a little early, isn't it? But it's good to have you out. Today is Girl Scout Sunday. Today, actually, March 12th marks the 100th birthday of Girl Scouts. Are there any Girl Scouts? Oh, way in the back. Stand up. Let us greet you. Welcome. Glad to have you here. Hey. Are you all going to help usher or anything like that? Are you? Okay, good. How many of you have ever been in Girl Scouts? Oh, wow. Yeah. Somebody here was a founding member. No, I'm just kidding. Easter Lilies coming up, and we invite you to consider that. Piper University Choir here tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Great time. Hope you'll be here. And Alpha begins this Thursday. If you know somebody, I tell you, we live more and more in a time where people know less and less about who Jesus is and the story. And we invite you back there at the back. Janice is back there. And stop by and pick up a card that invites somebody to start Alpha. And we're going to replace the carpet in here soon. And Debbie Herring is the chair of our trustees. Debbie, is that decision hasn't been made or is being made this Tuesday? This Tuesday, the trustees will make that. Is it too late to vote? All right, there's still two pieces? Okay. A, your recommendation is A, and I didn't like C, so we took C out. No, just kidding. Okay, but if you'd like to check out the carpet, and also during that time, the hearing loop will be put in as well, I think, right? The hearing loop will be putting in. Great. Thank you for your leadership there. I think those are there first-time visitors here today or people? Hadley, who's your friend here? From Haleiwa, Hawaii. Oh, you're the one that he goes to visit all the time. Yeah, nice to have you here, Chip. You just came off an eight-day road trip. So the roads are now safe. Where were you? Okay, good deal. I saw Carly Osborne come in. Carly's here from Brazil? Yeah, touring with Disney in Brazil, and now where? Okay, now you're finished. Yeah, getting ready for a wedding. Other first-time visitors or people who've been away? Anybody? We can greet you. A lot of people from the Walk to Emmaus are gone this Sunday. Today, about 40 of our women are involved, and they're down at Ocala Silver Springs, so they're having a wonderful time. We have this connection with Wanamath, a city in Haiti. You know it. In Haiti, where we are involved with a clinic there, and we're involved with a couple schools, and the meal packaging event next Sunday afternoon, which we hope many of you can come to. And that's the mission box today, and there's a video that talks about that. So if we could show that, that would be great. Thank you.
people from the community came together, packed these 50,000 meals with the four ingredients. There's soy, there's rice, chicken Vitamix, and dehydrated vegetables. And they're putting these all together, assembly lines, weighing them to 380, 385, bagging them up, boxing them up, and we'll send them out sometime in the next month or so. There's six meals per bag, 25 cents per meal, so $1.50 per bag can feed six children. Now, we say six, but it's actually probably more than that, because when you think about it, when this expands, rice and soy expands, children don't eat as much as us, but unless they're like I was, they eat just as much as adults. But then they add their own flavors to it, because they're going to make it culturally theirs. So once it gets there, they'll add their own spices, they'll add the meat that they have meat, and then it'll expand even more. Great way to do it, because it's hands-on. It's not just a drop and the money in a bucket. And forgetting about it, people actually give it their time, which is more precious to us as Americans, especially if you give our time than it's money. So you give it your money, then you're giving your time. You get the hands-on experience, the hands-on feeling, and that good feeling that you've actually done something, like a good day's work. And it's great because it's ageless. Everyone between age of 5 and 105 can come together and do this. If you look behind you, you'll see kids who come up to your knees, and then you have some of those who are using walkers here, working as a group, as a unit, doing something together and in a meeting. So that's what's fantastic about the program. That's what it is, very basic, very simple.
I don't know about you, but it makes me proud to be a part of a church like this where we do so much to help other people. And this is just one of the many ways we can do that. Dan asked me to mention that the Sunlight Choir is offering a bake sale over here near the kitchen area. If you want to stop by after church and get something good to eat over there, you can do that. And now I'd like you, if you will, to stand, greet each other, and say just how proud you are of Trinity United Methodist Church.
Give me a chord.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting heart. What a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Thank you. You may be seated. First time I realized that Jan and Sue are Girl Scouts, but I'm not surprised with all they do around here. We're glad to have the Girl Scouts to help us with the offering this morning. We really are. And remember the Mission Box Special for Haiti. And also remember to give generously to this church and the work that we do around the world. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your amazing grace and love. For all the ways you shower us with blessings. The things you give to us enrich our lives. And we thank you for the privilege of giving back, believing that you will bless our gifts and use them to touch the lives of people in the name of Christ. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But sometimes, with the media publicizing mostly negative things, it's hard to find things that we can rejoice in. There are a few lines in the song we're singing, which is Easy Silence by the Dixie Chicks, that state, children lose their youth too soon. Watching war made us immune. I've got all the world to lose, but I just want to hold on to the easy silence that you make for me. Like the song suggests, we often look to our friends, and most importantly, God, to create a peacefulness and a serenity for us when we, and things to rejoice in, we have trouble finding it. So now singing Easy Silence is Sarah Deloach.
Conversations, accidents and accusations, messages and misperceptions paralyze my mind. Buses, cars and airplanes leaving, burning fumes of gasoline. Everyone is running and I come to find a refuge in me. The silence that you make for me, it's okay. There's nothing more to say to me. In the peace, the quiet you create for me, and the way you keep the world at play for me, the way you keep the world at bay. Monkeys on the barricades are warning us to back away. If poor commissions try to find the next one, they can crucify. Anger plays on every station. Answers only make more questions. I need something to believe in. Breathing sanctuary in me. It's silence that you make for me. It's okay. Okay when there's nothing more to say to me, and the peace.
Wow. Thank you, Sunlight. Sarah, thank you. I see that music talent runs in the family, huh? Nice job. And Steve, thanks. You know, if you're proud of Sunlight for getting up, I mean, this is like 8:30 in the morning. Let's thank you all for being here. Wow. Wow. Let's pray for each other, would you? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We've been looking, and we're looking through Lent on the seven last words or phrases of Jesus that he spoke from the cross. I've always known they had high importance, but I think this time through it seems to have been impressed upon me just how incredibly important these last phrases of Jesus' life were for us. 2 weeks ago we spoke about his words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Last week he said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. And today we read these words. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, or mother, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. The last words of Jesus, Father, forgive them. Which is a call to us to extend forgiveness. For they don't understand what they're doing. And to understand that underneath what most people think they know is maybe something else going on. Second, he said to the thief, truly I tell you today you will be with me in paradise. A welcoming of the outsiders. And then this intimate, wonderful thing to his best friend and to his mother. Giving them to one another. Jesus was at the end of his life exactly as he was throughout his life. And if we can just keep our focus on him as a church, as the communities of faith, as a Christian church, instead of getting into this thing or that thing and what's known as religion or involved in too many other things, if we can focus on Jesus and the things he did and he said, we could have a huge impact on the world. This scene to me speaks of this wondrous love that he had for those closest to him. Forgiving others, welcoming outcasts, caring for those close to us. He had a concern for his family. 2 weeks ago, Greg Bishop, one of our members, called me and said, Pastor Dan, could you go visit my mom? And of course I said, yeah, his mom, Pam Bishop, who just passed away. You may know the Bishops, they have the Pinewood Apartments in the area south of here. When I went to her, I said to Pam, as I often say to people who are near the end of their life, how would you like me to pray? And she said, pretty much what most people say, pray for my family. Her concern at that stage was about those people closest to them, just as Jesus. Concern was for his mother. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad Jesus emphasized family right here at the very end. That he didn't forget the woman who gave him life, who nurtured him and loved him, his mom. Sometimes the great figures of history who changed the world, Churchill, others come to mind, are so into their mission, their calling, their task, their career, whatever, their destiny, they forget the people who got them there. They forget the people who breathed life into them, the ones to whom they owe their life. Now, lots of you have written me this week, after I shared last week about those first encounters I remember of persons with a different ethnic origin. And I mentioned that there were three men from India who lived in our home for a week, and Mom and Dad welcomed them, and it was such a positive experience that Mom and Dad generated. And so some of you shared. And generally was that Mom and Dad set about something that really impacted my life for good. Thank you for your stories. I don't know how Jesus could have affirmed family more. His last breaths were his care for his mom. That poignant scene on Calvary's Hill, Jesus stretched out in unimaginable agony. He'd come to save the world. He was completing his task. But his focus was on the woman standing nearby. These seven last words, this example, for us to forgive others, to welcome outsiders, to love family. There's no dichotomy for the follower of Jesus between our mission and our love for those closest to us. Family are so important. I don't know that I've always done this well. And though I've tried. Somehow, being a minister, your holidays aren't always your own, but I had such great flexibility. I was always able to get to the ball games and the cheerleading and the school events. And I often talk to people of the generation just before me who say, Dan, you know, my career, my business was so important. I wish I'd have known to be, but that was the context of the time. You were coming out of the Great Depression. That's what you were going to do. It is hard to find balance, isn't it? Incredibly important to try. And Jesus' words from the cross, dear mom, dear son, remind us. There's another dimension here, I think, about John. The disciple whom Jesus loved, the beloved disciple. Sometimes we who study the scripture kind of get focused on, who was this? Which disciple was this? Was it John? And if it was John, why didn't he just say his name, John? And why did he sort of use the circumlocution, the beloved disciple? And how could that be very humble to think he was the most beloved? But let's just take it for face value that he and Jesus had this amazing connection, really close friends. And Jesus was honoring that friendship. The song that Sunlight sang was talking about how friends buffer us sometimes from the world. Provide us the space for easy silence. Jesus knew that John would be at an incredible loss without him being around, without his closest friend. I know members of Sunlight will know that this is about the first anniversary of Sarah Landauer's death, this Eastside Athletic star, Creekside member, and a dear friend to many in Sunlight. And how incredibly important friendships are. One of our members, Cindy King, a few years ago, her dad died, and about the same time she went through a divorce. And her mom became her best friend, and a best friend to the two twins, Cameron and Karis. And she shared that starting then, every Friday night, Phyllis, who passed, would take one of the twins and Cindy would take the other. And Phyllis, one of the twins, wanted to go to McDonald's every Friday night. I don't know that I could be that good a grandparent. And then they would switch over and the other twin would want to watch 3 hours of America's Funniest Videos. And I don't know that I could do that. But I've thought of them and contacted them, and Julie's been so wonderful because they've lost a best friend. And I'm so glad that Jesus knew and understood that and that he valued this dynamic of family and friendship. And so he said to John, John, you're not going to be left alone. Here's my mom. You two bond together. And the question comes to us, why didn't Jesus commend his mom to his brothers and sisters? They were nowhere there near the cross. They weren't there yet spiritually. They weren't there yet mentally. They still thought he had lost his mind. They still thought he was crazy. It was only after the resurrection of Jesus that it began to dawn on them that he actually was who he said he was. And then one of them became one of the leaders of this movement Jesus started, James, the brother of Jesus. And sometimes it takes years praying for family members to come to that sort of deep connection with God. But God hears those prayers. And I just give you an encouraging word today. Never stop praying for those members of your family. Never stop praying. There are two traditions about Mary. What happened to her after the crucifixion and resurrection. One tradition says she stayed in Jerusalem. The other more reliable tradition, I think, is that she went with John to Ephesus. In fact, we have, here's some of you have been to this place on the edge of Turkey, the shore, the coast of Turkey. This is the town of Ephesus. This is sort of a panoramic view. And then this is next one is the house of Mary. I believe the next one, yeah. Where on the site, this isn't obviously the house from then, this was built later, and this is the site of the house of Mary. And John and she lived her days out that way. And now the Scripture mentions three Marys. It says the mother, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdala, that is Mary of the town of Magdala, Mary Magdalene. The town of Magdala is on the Sea of Galilee, just down the hill from Nazareth and Cana, down there. She was early on in the ministry of Jesus. And then this third Mary, the wife of Clopas. We know the two Marys, mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene. But Mary, the wife of Clopas, who is she? Sister of Jesus' mother, Mary. The early church indicated she was Mary's sister by marriage. And Clopas was the brother of Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. We know that Joseph died sometime before Jesus turned 30, maybe when he was younger, we don't know that. And probably Clopas and Mary were like Uncle Clopas and Aunt Mary. So they were close. And I can't help but wonder about the role of the women in the ministry of Jesus. Luke tells us that the women financially supported Jesus and his disciples, Luke chapter 8. It was a woman who was the first missionary to the Samaritans. It was a woman who first anointed Jesus with oil. There were three women who had the courage to stand with Jesus as he was being crucified. It was a woman who was the first to the tomb, a woman who was the first to see Jesus alive, and a woman the first to proclaim the resurrection. And so I began wondering, what if women had decided the criteria for who would become clergy? And if it wasn't based on the 12 men disciples, but it was based on who was there at the cross, who was there at the tomb, who was there to first proclaim the resurrection, it would be a whole different world, wouldn't it? I'm grateful the Methodist Church ordains both women and men. There's no sort of ceiling on this. And when I looked back at that back wall this week, I counted 40 people there, 13 of whom are women. I'm praying some young person here, some young woman, as well as young men, might say yes to that call of God to be a clergy person. I believe after Dean Martin passed, this congregation would have gladly welcomed Marcia Wiggins as their new senior pastor. Grateful for Jimmy. But this is a congregation that would and will welcome a senior minister someday. We tried to get Marcia here for Lynn, but she wasn't able. But we'll get her here now that she lives in Florida. Another thing, Jesus' concern for his mother, it may have just been that, his concern for his mom. But it may have been more. It may have been in that tradition of the biblical tradition, the Old Testament, of caring for widows and orphans, which has become a model for the church. And so the church throughout the ages has established retirement homes, hospitals, places. Now, I'm going to embarrass two people. I don't know that they're here. I think Pat Kilby's over in the healing service in the chapel. But when you see them, Pat Kilby and Rosemary Davis, when you see them, they are amazing. Pat Kilby visits the shut-ins on behalf of Trinity. And Rosemary Davis leads the hospital visitation team. And when you see them, I'd like you to do three things. I'd like you to say, thank you, Pat. Thank you, Rosemary, for extending the love of God and the love of Trinity on behalf of Trinity to others. I'd like you to secondly say, are you taking enough time off for yourself? because I know they're not, and I've tried my best to give them to. And third, would you say to them, call me, contact me. If I can't help you, I will tell you, and if I can't help you, I will tell you. I'll be glad to do it. In fact, we have on the screen, I think, these are some things. We have a congregational care team now. If you're available, you can just let your name be known, and you don't have to do it if you can. Once a month, grief support, transportation care, parish visitation, hospital visitation, Stephen ministry, prayer ministry, veteran support. Call them. Let them know. This past Wednesday night, David Dodge was here, as you may know, and we're looking forward to Mark. But David just did an outstanding job. He talked about he grew up in a different denomination, a denomination that broke off from the Methodist Church because of a decision they made at General Conference that they didn't like. That was back in 1908. And eventually he became a Methodist. He said, you know, you could tell the differences when you look at the hymnody. He mentioned a hymn that he grew up with singing in that denomination. It says, this is not my final home, I'm just a passing through. And in the Methodist hymnal, is this hymn a favorite? This is my Father's world. He said, you notice the difference. If you grow up believing this is not my final home, I'm just a passing through, you don't really care that much about this real world, justice and shalom and peace and things that make for a better life for people in this world. Because you're just passing through. Now, we are passing through, but we also believe that this is my Father's world. And so as followers of Wesley and followers of Jesus, we believe this absolutely matters. And so Jesus from the cross didn't say, well, Mary, someday you're going to be with me. He said, Mary, here's your son. John, here's your mom. Take care of each other. So Trinity will sponsor 300 orphans in Malawi, drill wells in Central America, do meal packaging events, because we believe this matters. Justice, shalom, even from the cross. In His words, behold your son, behold your mother. Jesus is telling us, this is our mission. Live it out. So here's the challenge of Jesus' words today. Two things. How are you doing with your family? How are you doing with your family? One of my brothers was here the other night, and we began to talk. We shouldn't have done this. We began to talk politics. We are not in the same place. It was late. We agreed to go to bed. Not having resolved anything. But since then, we've talked a lot, and we're at a pretty good place now. How are you and your family? Do you give quality time? Do you pray for them? Do you give patience? Do you grant forgiveness? And then how are you doing with those who've loved you over the years or who've lost loved ones themselves? My mom, when I was young, all of us boys, mom would make us go with her when she visited aunts and cousins, older aunts and older cousins. One I remember was Aunt Mary Badorf, I think was the name, some German name. And frankly, I was scared. She lived in a big house and a dark house, and the shades were pulled, and I was afraid I was going to get in there and couldn't get out. And she wore a black dress and dark shoes and black stockings. And she reminded me of that woman in The Wizard of Oz. Who was that? Aunt so-and-so, you know. I'm telling you, I just didn't want to be there alone for sure. But I'm glad Mom did that. It's what one ought to do, ought to be there for people who've been a part of who you are. This segregation of the ages is of the devil. Here's the bigger issue. Have you wondered who to center your life around? whether it's Jesus or something else or someone else or around nothing. Take a long, hard look at Him on the cross. The last things He said. Amazing. He looked out there and said, Father, forgive these folks. They don't know what they're really doing. He said to the guy next to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. He looked down at his mom and said, Mom, here's John. John, here's your mom. I mean, wondrous love. He is the authentic Son of God. Jesus the Christ. The one whom everybody ought to know and center their life around and make a part of who they are. He offers forgiveness to all and to us, you and me. Forgiveness. He offers us to welcome the outcasts and the insiders, you and me. And He extends wondrous, unimaginable love. Have you decided deep in your being that He's the one you'll follow all your life? Would you pray with me? God, You invite us. Maybe we see You, Jesus, more clearly today than ever before, and You are the one and only the Son of God. And You're offering all of us forgiveness, welcome, amazing love. And as we come to this time of Holy Communion, we remember that He said His body broken for us, the bread is, and the cup is His blood shed for us. And it's a time when any and all can receive, and in receiving ask forgiveness for the past and receive His welcome, His life within them, and begin anew. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, would you stand as we sing our closing hymn? Feel free to come, if you would, to receive Holy Communion. There's gluten-free down at these two tables here.
Jesus. Reisman. Come over here. We didn't give the benediction. We don't get you here very often. And it's nice to have your friend Jessica here. Would you mind giving the benediction?
Okay, thanks. Let us now go with God, with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, so we may lead lives for Christ and Christ's kingdom. In His name.